The most powerful way, the most powerful way that you can get your prospects choosing your product or service over your competition is to establish the buying criteria that they are going to use in making their own decision to purchase whatever solution it is that they're purchasing to the problem that they're facing, that they're looking to solve by buying a particular product or service. So we're going to talk about establishing buying criteria in today's episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. These are the proven direct response marketing, copywriting, and entrepreneurship success strategies you can use today to write your own ticket and create the life you want. I am Roy Furr, and this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Now, here's today's breakthrough. Okay, so I want to start this episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets, which, by the way, this is episode number 9 in the Essential Copywriting Skills. It's a series that's going to add up to over a dozen episodes on like the skills that great copywriters develop from early on in their career and continue to hone throughout their entire career. And if you're liking the series, if you're liking this video, hit that like button. And number two, if you're watching this after it's live, like after it's coming out live towards late June of 2021, you can check out the link in the description to sign up for the entire series from the beginning to get caught up and to get all dozen plus episodes. So again, back to establishing the buying criteria. I want to start with a couple episodes. I want to start with a couple stories. Yeah. So there's a very famous story from very early in the history of modern advertising from Claude Hopkins. And Claude Hopkins, considered one of the forefathers of modern direct response advertising, he also was one of the greatest copywriters of his time. He also, at the time, was running like the best ad agency. He was one of the top people at one of the best ad agencies in the world, the Lord and Thomas Ad Agency. And he wrote the book Scientific Advertising. He also wrote the book My Life in Advertising about effective, scientific, results-directed, results-oriented direct response advertising that laid the groundwork for modern direct response, direct marketing, measured marketing, results-accountable marketing, conversion marketing, whatever term you're going to apply to it. So much of it goes back to scientific advertising. And by the way, if you want a free copy of the Scientific Advertising ebook and audiobook, go to freescientificadvertising.com. I actually I recorded a version of the audiobook for my own use, and I offer it for the world for free. So Claude Hopkins, he got an assignment from a client, Schlitz Beer, which at the time was like the number 5 beer in Milwaukee, which is big brewing city, right? But being the number 5 beer in the city really didn't say much for national success. And at the time, he knew that all the beer ads said pure beer, like this is what sold beer. That our beer is pure. Our beer doesn't have like, you know, contaminants or bacteria or whatever. And he said, okay, everybody is saying pure beer. Everybody's saying pure beer. That's great. What actually makes it pure? And so he started talking to the people at Schlitz, and he went through their brewery, and he had a discussion with the brewmasters and discussed all of the different processes that took place, from boiling the wort and all the ingredients to pre-sanitizing and washing all the containers, and even the water was pulled out of a 10,000 foot deep well, and all of this, all of these steps that they went through to make Schlitz beer pure. And when he asked them, like, okay, this is all really fascinating and interesting, why haven't you told everybody about this? And the brewmasters and the people behind Schlitz Beer said, well, everybody does it this way, so it's not special. And Claude Hopkins says, I don't know that everybody does it this way. Most people who buy and drink your beer or anybody else's beer doesn't know that everybody else does it this way. So can we tell this story and say, like, here is why Schlitz is pure? And long story short, he did. They ran a series of advertisements explaining the entire brewing process for Schlitz beer and what made it so pure, and justified the buying criteria for you want to make sure your beer actually goes through this process in order to be pure. And so far, Schlitz was the only person or the only company that had actually explained that they do go through that process. And so everybody started buying Schlitz beer. And in fact, Schlitz became the number one beer in the country and sustained that for decades. From Hopkins saying, yeah, I didn't realize that beer was made this way. And so why don't we tell everybody that this is what your buying criteria needs to be for buying beer. And Schlitz meets this buying criteria. Now, I've done the same thing in my life. I had an assignment to sell an EMP resistant backup solar generator. And at the time, you could get backup solar generators and you could get other generators for far cheaper, like gas run generators. And so there was an established demand in the marketplace for backup power, right? And basically what I did over the course of about 12,000 words is I explained how in the case of an EMP, whether it comes from the sun or it comes from a nuclear explosion source or whatever the source of an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse would be, if it actually took out the power grid and you needed backup power, your backup solar generator would likely not actually provide it. There's a strong possibility that the backup gas generator wouldn't provide it. And even if the backup gas generator did provide power after an EMP, there are risks associated with the backup generator. And so I essentially created this entire scenario where I went through and I told the story and I created a set of buying criteria that if you agreed with me on this and this and this and this and this and this, the offer that I was going to make, which was the first and only backup solar generator of its kind that was built in an EMP resistant housing, was really your only option. And we sold a ton of those things. And so what we did was we, just like Hopkins did with the pure beer, we defined the solution and that definition that we created for the solution to the prospect's problem or challenge that they were responding to, that they were buying based on, was our product, our service, whatever it is. And a great marketer, a great copywriter, understands that if you establish buying criteria that only get to your product or service, then you are essentially creating this, like, you're creating this scenario by which if somebody agrees with you on the buying criteria, they have to buy your product or service. And it's incredibly powerful. Now, throughout the course of this series, I've already talked about PISA. I've already talked about my problem, agitate, invalidate, solve, ask formula. And what I will say, and this is something that I mentioned in my book, The Ultimate Selling Story, where I talked about PISA, is that when you do this right, you are creating buying criteria that lead people to the buying decision of buying your product. So other products and services might actually solve the problem. So we establish the problem, but we're not creating the buying criteria yet. Agitation is just saying, here's why the problem needs to be solved. But then when you get to that invalidation step, and that's why this invalidation step is so powerful and so important, in a market where other solutions exist, whether that's the prospect doing it themselves or buying a competing product or service or something else entirely, right? That solution, when other solutions already exist, by essentially saying, oh, we went through this, we tried to use this solution and it didn't work. We tried to use this solution and it didn't work. Tried to use this solution and it didn't work. What we're doing as we're invalidating all of those other solutions is we are creating buying criteria that says that one's not good enough, that one's not good enough, that one's not good enough. And we defined the solution that is going to actually work to solve the problem. And that's, so when you get to the solve step, problem, agitate, invalidate, solve, what you do is oftentimes your solution is going to overlap in a lot of places with the other solutions that are out there in the marketplace, but there is going to be an additional something, a missing piece that your solution contains that the other solutions do not. And that missing piece is what creates a unique and advantageous solution. And that missing piece becomes an essential part of the buying criteria that your prospect is going to use to make their decision. And so as we go through that, and then you get to the ask or the action step, which is the offer. You're asking somebody to take action. But at that point, the buying criteria has already been established and it clearly favors your solution. And so when you want to do this from the copywriting perspective, number one, when you get to that invalidate step, you need to say, like, why do other solutions not work? What are they missing? What's the problem with them? What's the challenge? Where is their gap in trying to solve the problem? And then you get to the solve part and you say, you know, what is unique about your solution? And it could be as simple as like a 1% difference. It can be a tiny, tiny difference, but it's like having a puzzle piece where, you know, 1% difference. If your puzzle has 100 pieces, but one is missing, that's 1% of the puzzle missing. But you're still like the thing that you're going to notice is this puzzle cannot be completed without that one piece. But you add that missing puzzle piece, and it actually creates the complete solution to the puzzle, right? And I've talked about this in the past as the NUP secret, N-U-P-P. Which is the new understanding of the persistent problem. Like the reason that the problem has persisted is because this one puzzle piece was missing. And so me, by giving you this new understanding, again, we're establishing buying criteria that it has to have that missing piece in order for it to be successful. Now, I do have to continue to give credit to Stefan Georgi, who calls this the mechanism of the solution, because he, like, even though I used this intuitively at sometimes beforehand, he was very clear in his language around the mechanism of the solution being like an ideal way to just present this, like this whole missing puzzle piece. Like, what is the mechanism of your solution that makes it unique? Like, what's the mechanism that is that makes the problem remain, which is that missing piece? It's pointing out the missing piece. And then how can you show that your solution has that missing piece in place? And that becomes, like, when you do all of this right, and importantly, when your product or service is designed to fill this gap in the marketplace, it is essential buying criteria. But that one thing becomes your uniqueness, your unique selling proposition. So, for example, going back to the EMP-resistant backup generator, I was able to authoritatively say, this is the first and only backup solar generator built into an EMP resistant case. And so it created, like, all other things being equal, our solution was the one that would continue to provide power after an electromagnetic pulse took down the power grid, right? And you know, frankly, I still see news stories about the risk of that from like a solar flare. And so it is something where if somebody is concerned about that, having that uniqueness, having that USP in that particular case is a hugely advantageous addition to the list of buying criteria for backup solar, right? So once you've established that uniqueness, then you just need to reinforce that your product or service, whatever it is, your solution to their problem also covers the minimum feature set. So you say, like, what do all the solutions out there contain? And for Schlitz, like, them defining the uniqueness was largely just in the story, right? But essentially they were saying, like, here is the minimum feature set of pure beer. Is like, the beer has to go through all of these processes. And so you explain, yes, ours stacks up there. Like, ours covers the entire minimum feature set. It covers everything that every other solution contains. So, like, pizza, there might be some, well, actually, there's the famous Domino's pizza example. Fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. That was their unique selling proposition. It was the delivered in 30 minutes or less, or it's free, was their unique solution, right? The minimum feature set of pizza was like crust, sauce, cheese, other toppings, right? And so they met the minimum feature set, but then they added fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less, or it's free, right? So they added that And then they had the minimum feature set covered by fresh hot pizza, right? And so you expect fresh hot pizza when you get it from a restaurant, but the delivered in 30 minutes or less, or it's free, was their uniqueness that they created, and they established a buying criteria that led them to the top of the pizza world for an extended period of time. And so essentially, like, you define, okay, what do we do uniquely, and how does that create a unique and advantageous solution to the customer's problem? What do we do that's the same as everybody else? And then we combine that as we explain our solution. And oftentimes you want to put that uniqueness at the top to make it stand out, and then just reassure somebody that, hey, yeah, we cover everything else too. So what must the ideal solution contain? Why is this the advantageous solution to the prospect? This does actually harken back, and I don't want to go too deep down this rabbit hole, but Jay Abraham teaches the strategy of preeminence, which is essentially that you want to make yourself into the preeminent provider of the solution in your marketplace to your marketplace's problem or challenge. And so you're not just providing the best solution to them, but you're helping to educate them as to what the best solution is in the first place. You're helping to educate them into, like, this is what you need if you truly want this solution. If you truly want this problem solved, this is what you need to do. And you are being that preeminent person by sharing this buying criteria with them. And as someone who is actually the preeminent provider of the product or service, of the solution to the problem, is also going to essentially deliver that on the silver platter in the form of an offer. And then your job then, like, once you've created the solution that is advantageous over every other solution in the marketplace and still covers all the other bases, right? Once you've created that, your job is to then educate about the ideal solution. It's to do education-based marketing. Like I teach my value first funnel strategy, like, you want to help them understand how to solve their problem. But the great thing about it is that it's going to map to your solution. And oftentimes it just ties into that reason why for your product's design. So Schlitz Beer, like, they went through the entire process because they wanted to offer pure beer, like every other brewery wanted to offer pure beer. But then they described, or Claude Hopkins described it, and it became a better customer experience because you had that story to tell. With the EMP resistant backup solar generator, like, he created that, and he created he wanted the EMP resistant generator for himself. And then it became something that we could educate about as being an ideal solution to the problem of backup power. And so it was a very powerful message that we were able to do in terms of educating about that. I'm also just remembering, just in wrapping up, I'm remembering when I was selling IT training for, like, we would sell these different solutions. And one of the solutions was that you would purchase a certain number of licenses or seats. And so if you had a solution that was like 5 seats, and it gave catalog access to our entire IT training catalog. So if you had a IT department that was like 25 people, what you could do is, as long as only 5 people were going to train at any given time, you could purchase 5 seats to our catalog, and these people would be able to log in, and they'd just take a seat for as long as they were using it. And then when they were done, like, the seat would be given back and available. But this was such an advantageous solution over so many other options out there. For example, one of the things that we competed against was like a boot camp. And if you invested in a boot camp, you would actually send an employee off for a class, or maybe at the local community college or something, but you would send them off for a class, and they would go, and they'd be out of the office, and they'd sit there. And then, like, if they left next week, all your training expense would go with them. If they were recruited next week, all your training expense would go with them, versus this IT training by video streamed over the internet model. It made it so that, oh, you're investing in a solution for your department, and even if that person leaves, like, other people can access the same training later. As long as you keep your subscription up to date, you still have all these all that access available. And there were many other advantages, but as we talked to different prospects for this training solution, we were essentially able to lay out, like, here are the buying criteria that favor ours. And, like, another thing was, for example, our trainers were the people that wrote the questions for the certification exams with Microsoft and Cisco and other other certification providers. Whereas if you sent somebody off to the community college, you don't know who's teaching that class. And so so we established all these buying criteria that would favor our solution. And ultimately, people could make their own decision. They could make a different decision. Their buying criteria may not match ours perfectly, but by establishing those buying criteria in the beginning, what we were doing was we were saying, hey, we think that this is a good set of criteria on which to make your decision. They also happen to favor our service, our product, whatever a streaming subscription is, right? And if you agree with these buying criteria, then it's a pretty smart decision to buy our offer. And so we actually sold a ton of IT training through those offers, and it was super powerful. And so if you want to go deeper, like, first off, my value first funnel strategy that does talk about education-based marketing is a great place to go deeper on this. Also, the high velocity copywriting training program that I offer, and I'll include links with this episode to go deeper into both of those. Also, I mentioned Claude Hopkins, the free scientificadvertising.com. You just sign up and you get free access to the ebook and audiobook of that. And I'm sure that I offered additional resources through here, but I'm not remembering them off the top of my head. But what I will say is I would love it if you would leave a comment with this episode. Let me know on a scale of 1 to 10 how valuable you found it and why. What are your action items? What are your takeaways? How are you going to think about establishing buying criteria as part of what you do as a copywriter, the thinking that goes into effective copywriting? How are you going to think about doing that going forward? Leave that in a comment with this video. Tap that like button before you go so you get more content like this delivered to you, and so the magical algorithms of the internet will know to share it with more people like you who will find it valuable. You can certainly share it with folks directly and subscribe before you go. You can subscribe here. You can also go to breakthroughmarketingsecrets.com, get my daily emails Monday through Friday, including these episodes and more exclusive content for email subscribers. You know, check out the links in the description. Everything will be there. Thank you very much for watching. I'm Roy Furr for Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. I always aim for a 10 out of 10 value. I hope that I've delivered it again in this episode, and I look forward to seeing you again next time. See you soon. Bye. Thank you once again for tuning in to this daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Remember, check out the links with this episode for even more value. Now make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, and engage in every way you can to keep this show going and growing and delivering daily value to you. I'll catch you soon for your next big breakthrough.